Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship as we do a new thing as the new creation of God, and that new thing is this season of creation that we're going to be doing beginning today through the end of July. Last year, we might remember, we did something like this, but we did it spread out. So it was like one Sunday in May and one in June, so forth. This year, we're going to do this for four Sundays in a row, and the theme is what's on the front of your bulletin, rooted in God's living soil, emphasizing the creation as around us, giving thanks and the joy that we have, and also for emphasizing ourselves as created beings of God. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning with our opening litany.
Come, worship the God of all creation.
We gather to praise the Creator, the continuous source of all living things.
Come, worship our God who breathes life into being.
We praise the Creator who fashions the forests, whose trees clean the air of this world.
Come, worship our God who forms life out of soil.
We praise the Creator whose land brings nourishment.
Come, worship our God who receives our lament in the wilderness.
We praise the Creator whose Son brings healing to all creation.
Come, worship our God who sends waters flowing with life.
We praise the Creator whose baptism unites us to be one in the body of Christ with all creation.
In water, we are joined to Christ and the entirety of the Trinity in the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives into the new creation with your forgiveness, grace, and love. Please stand for our opening hymn. Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Celebrate how, in your Son, you have reconciled all things to yourself. Show us how to be in relationship with your creation and with you, living out our faith in the care we show for all that you have made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning on the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with the seed in its fruit. And you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished with all their multitude. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second reading is from the Epistle to the Colossians, the first chapter. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord. Please stand as you are able for our gospel acclamation.
Gospel of John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Jesus said, I tell you, if the people were silent, the very stones would shout out. Please be seated. One verse from our epistle reading that Deacon Claire read for us. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. Creation and reconciliation. Today, we begin our four-week season of creation, where we'll be recognizing and exploring different aspects of God as creator and the creation we live in and the creation we are. And I wonder what some of your images are in your mind when I use the term creation. I would guess that many of you might think, initially at least, of the beauty and awe of the natural world. Perhaps like that feeling you can have if you go through the great redwoods and sequoias in California and see those giant trees that makes you feel like you're in a different land. Or perhaps you think of that kind of that beauty and majesty when you're in a green field that seems to go on just forever. You might even rejoice in those spaces, recognizing who you are and in this gift of where we are. Well, I'm from a farm. I saw a lot of large fields with no end to them. Rejoice wasn't my first thought. I saw how much work was there. And the one that was always hardest for me to see, and anyone from a farm will resonate,
was fields of grass, alfalfa, clover, oats, which we would later make into hay. And the day after my dad would go bale it all, you could look out over these fields, and as far as you could look, there are bales neatly piled or neatly set in rows where the baler went. And our baler made 60-pound bales, which if you know anything about, that is actually quite small. These days they make absolutely huge ones, but we had relatively small ones. And the benefit of those small bales is that you can move them around quite easily. A person can move them around quite easily. Of course, the problem with the small bales is that a person can move them around quite easily. We didn't have a bale wagon. My dad had his boys. And so we would go out in the morning and see literally thousands of hay bales over the various fields that we had, nicely sitting in rows waiting for us to bring them in. The joy of creation. And then when I ask an image that you might have had about the natural world, some of you might have a background of mine and think of that, or think about what creation is, I think most people do think somehow, though, of the natural world. Mountains, lakes, oceans, trees, whatever your deep experience from your associations. You might also think about animals that live in those spaces, those flocks of birds, rivers teeming with life. But I would guess that at least for some of you, one thing that doesn't come up when I say the word creation very frequently is humans. That we indeed are part of creation. And I think sometimes we can get the idea because of our good theology that we are stewards of creation, that sometimes we can think we're not really part of it. We care for the creation. We're not the creation. That's the thing out there. On the farm, I have to say that's how we thought of it. We owned the farm, we worked the farm, we harvested from the farm, we very much cared for the farm. We were either wise or unwise stewards. But it was work we were doing to something else. It was a creation. We were doing our best to make a business of it. We never thought of ourselves as creation in that same way. But our epistle reading this morning says, "And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross." All things. It doesn't say simply all people, but people are clearly and obviously included. It doesn't say all the rest of the creation excepting humans. All things. We are creation. And so in this season of creation, or the concept of creation care that we often use, we recognize, what are we caring for? Is it those forests and lakes and fields of grass and alfalfa and oats? Absolutely. But it is also ourselves. Our very selves, our very communities. That's part of creation care too. So really when we talk about creation care, maybe it's better just to call it care. What we care about in this world. Every aspect of God's creation, including ourselves. And then there's another aspect, I think, of creation we also have in our minds. If you ask people to share stories sometime recently, when you've been out in creation, I don't know what comes to your mind, but I would guess at least some of you with that phrase would think of times you went like hiking or camping or something like that. I would guess that when we talk about being out in creation, very few of us have the image
of being inside a human-built building, like we are right now. The thought, I think, is that for many of us, we assume that, well, if humans built it, well, then it doesn't really count as being part of creation. It's a product of this earth, though. We have formed and managed it in some way. It didn't naturally grow like this. But is it really not part of creation? And after all, what else is it? And I hope that what I've just said, no one feels shamed by what I said. You very well may never have thought of humans as part of creation, nor the thought of buildings and spaces we curate as part of creation. And you're not wrong to think that, because I think we have been more or less trained to think that way. We've idealized the concept of creation to be that which is perfect and beautiful as compared to what humans do, which is corrupt and confusing. It's as if we are saying, well, creation is what God would do if humans simply weren't around, which, if then interacted by humans, just causes all kinds of problems with sin and death. And in some way, I think I could understand, and we can understand, why we would think that. A colleague at our pastor's text study this last week made the observation that part of the challenge they had with our text from Genesis is that it places humans as the stewards of creation, as if creation needed us to care for it. But today, most of the intervention we need to do in creation care to very much address the needs of creation are just to rectify the problems we, the said stewards, seem to have already caused it. And so we don't necessarily think of the things we build and we do, like buildings and sewers and different things, as part of creation. They seem like the challenge to creation sometimes. But in our text, Paul writes to the Colossians, and through him, God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. All things are reconciled. And that word reconciled is an important one. The root word within it means to change, to alter. To reconcile is to alter and transform, to change, so that parties that are in contention come back together. It's not just a legal maneuver to stay where you are, but we'll decide to be back together. No, there's a real change. And God reconciles through Christ all things back to God. Notice God is not reconciled. God does not change. It is the creation. All things are reconciled to Christ. They are changed and transformed and brought back to who God is. All of creation. All that has been set askew has come back and is now in full relationship again. All of creation. All of us. All of the things we have done to the wholeness of the world around us and to ourselves. All of it is reconciled. But it's not just reconciled in some sort of vague way that, well, we'll all get along, but in a very specific place, in the blood of the cross. The cross itself is a creational moment of God. It's an event that brings life. To reconcile to God all creation is to bring life to all creation. The life that really is life. The Word of God, it says in our gospel reading, in which there is life. That's what the cross does. A creational moment. Our theme in this season of creation, which You see in the front cover of your bulletin, it'll be there all 4 weeks. It's called Rooted in God's Living Soil. About 14 verses after our lesson from Colossians is Colossians 2, 6-7, which says this, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Rooted and built up in him. Our roots as the reconciled creation is found in one tree, the tree of the cross. That's the creational power of God. Humans have taken things of creation, like trees, those joyous, wondrous thing trees that we see like in the redwoods, and have twisted them to make them instruments of death, like that of a cross. But the creational aspect of God's action in our lives is that God takes what was intended for death and reconciles it, changes it, and makes it an action of life. For it to be something of creation, it is something of life. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. All things on earth and in heaven. All creation is found and tied together in the tree of the blood of the cross. And as we are reconciled to Christ in that one cross, we are also reconciled to the rest of creation, one another. Those great redwoods that we love so much, those roots aren't very deep. The trees go hundreds and hundreds of feet high. The roots, almost never more than 10 feet deep. That's it. But they extend, can go 60, 80, even 100 feet in any direction. And the only way they can stand as high as they do is because those roots tie in to everything around them, including some of the buildings we build. In our being reconciled to Christ, we become reconciled to one another. The cross draws us into Christ and the rest of creation. We as one being with all others. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. We have been changed, transformed, reconciled to God. Life is bestowed in us and through us on the cross as God's good creation. Amen. Invite all who are able to stand for our next hymn.
the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of our blessed God, whose love calls the whole creation into covenant with them, and who puts in our hands responsibility for the care of earth and its creatures, we pray for this church and all creation, saying, hear us, God, your mercy is great. God of the covenant, you call ministers to proclaim your gospel of grace throughout the world. Inspire this congregation's pastors, deacon, church musicians, and all ministers of your word as they carry out your work. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of all creation, you reveal your goodness through all you have made. Rivers and seas, plants and animals, and endangered species. Prosper the work of regional conservation organizations, the Mount Pisgah Botanical Garden, the Oregon Zoo and Oregon Coast Aquarium, and all wildlife sanctuaries. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of the nations, you desire that all the peoples of the world live in peace. Guide government leaders at all levels, the United States, our state of Oregon, and the city of Eugene, to work for justice, mercy, and reconciliation. Particularly in the season of creation, we pray for all who shape public policies affecting the planet and its creatures, that they may consider wisely the well-being of all who come after us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of compassion, you bring healing to those who are sick, consolation to those who are grieving, and well-being to those who are distraught. Send skilled caregivers to all in need, especially Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Doug and Jody Martin, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus, Gary Wolf, and several family members of David Joe. Make your presence known among all who suffer. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of rejoicing, you have brought us together this day to worship around word and sacrament. Encourage children in their learning and growing, and watch over all those who are absent today. In these warm and bright summer months, lead us to places of renewal and refreshment. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of all faithfulness, through the witness of the faithful departed, you reveal love in action. Embolden us by their example to build up the beloved community in the contexts we encounter. For the creatures and the people of the earth whose lives and death have contributed to the fruitful abundance of this planet, we pray. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Gracious God, grant that your people may have in them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and guide us into harmony of relationship through loving kindness and wise use of all that you have given us. For you are drawing all things into communion with you and with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you now to stand and share a sign of peace with your neighbors, both present and worshiping with us online.
A few brief notes about our life together this week. First, you see at the end of your bulletin, with this season of creation, the different themes that we'll be looking into, and then a couple of activities on Saturday, July 15th, this Saturday, and then the 29th, we'll have a few different events kind of being celebrating and giving thanks for what creation is. First this Saturday at a kind of a nature walk or hike at Mount Pisgah from 10 to 12, meet in that parking lot at that time. And then on the 29th, we'll have a Riverside litter cleanup. We'll let you know where to show up for next week. And then the other thing, in addition to those that are not written here, this week, and in fact it already was going on, but Central Park this week is the Oregon Bach Festival, and on Monday we'll have Paul Jacobs from Juilliard is going to be here in the sanctuary. That is a ticketed event, and I understand it's been sold out, so hopefully you got them, and I don't encourage any scalping. But come Friday, though, we will have a concert here with free admission at 2:30 p.m. So do take a look for that one. With those brief announcements, let us continue our worship together with our offertory. Thank you.
God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, through whom you created all things, who in his crucifixion and resurrection bestowed on us new life as the new creation. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church, the whole creation, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
God Triune, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Over the eons, your merciful might evolved our home, a fragile tree of life. Here, by your wisdom, are both life and death, growth and decay, the nest and the hunt, sunshine and storm, darkness and light. Sustained by these wonders, we creatures of dust join in the ancient song, the earth is full of your glory. The earth is full of your glory. O God Triune, you took on our flesh, Jesus our healer. In Christ you bring life from death. We remember his cross. We laud his resurrection. Broken like bread, he enlivens our body. Outpoured like wine, he fills the earth with goodness. Receiving this mystery, we mortals sing our song. The earth is full of your glory. We praise you for the heart of Jesus, so filled with your love for this earth. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered around this table, we, your children, unite in this song. The earth is full of your glory. O God Triune, you create the worlds. You uphold the living, you embrace the dead. Send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Strengthen us for our journey with this meal, the body and blood of Christ. Give us a future that trusts in you, cares for your earth. Empowered by your promises, we rise from our death to praise you again. The earth is full of your glory. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward through the central aisle to the floor, where you'll receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then intinct or dip it into the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ that bids you come.
invite all who are able to stand. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Now receive the blessing of our God, the God who calls across the cosmos. It speaks of the smallest seed. Bless, keep, and sustain you now and to the end of the age. Amen.
Harvest. Thanks be to God.